That's just number two. The other one, that's number two.
No.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago. I would guesstimate about a month. The other one is the wife dreamed that the man came to her and the man said, if Sayyidina Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to Cape Town, he will depart from this house which we stay. The other dream is the one of myself. I dreamed I was in Medina and I was sitting at the back, you know, just after the Qubbat al-Sahra, by the Ahli Sufa. And I saw they going to re-intern Sayyidina Muhammad. But he's coming from Jannat al-Baqi and they're going to re-intern him where he's buried today. But his bier, the coffin which he was carrying, was of pure silk. And then there's another one, said, come and I go.
Can you see
how the moon is shining? Usually, we don't interpret dream at night, after Maghrib. And anyone has... doesn't have permission, authorization from Sheikh to, from his Sheikh to interpret dream, it's very advisable not to mention his dreams in front of someone that he doesn't know how to interpret, then the dream will come in the same way that that person interpreted. So it must be a real person that has permission to interpret the dreams for everyone. Don't go and tell your dreams to any person, because if that person will interpret it, it will happen as he said. So you don't want to have problems, such kind of problems. What do your family see, your son, your wife, yourself, is an indication that, alhamdulillah, that you are a blessed family. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'ani fil manam fasayarani haqqan." And Imam Suyuti explained that hadith, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever sees Prophet in the dream, he's going to see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reality. And now, he said more on that, that some ulama, they say that people will see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of judgment. But that hadith is give a meaning, a different meaning, because everyone going to see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of judgment. But what he's meant by this hadith, Imam Suyuti is explaining, is that anyone that see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or see he is in the Prophet mosque, or see anything that indicate to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is going to see Prophet before he will pass away from this life. Inshallah, means you at a point, a certain point, your wife and your son might be before death, in the seventh breath when they are giving out, and there is only between you and your Lord, might appear the presence of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that moment that you can see Prophet. So this is one explanation of the dream, and it is enough.
Anybody else? Other than dreams,
all
right? It's about the daily awrad. And one of the reasons I listened to your cassette where you said that you can recite the daily awrad anywhere that you want to. Just the first question is it necessary to be in a state of wudu whenever you recite to the daily awrad? That's the one thing. And then the second one, let's say one has to recite 200 salawat for the daily awrad, and you recite 100 and you're disturbed by something, is it all right that you can just continue with the rest and have the time again? And just the timing as well, can one start immediately after Fajr, and is there time during the day, like at night, that you have to end for the day
of not being completed? It's better everything to begin to have a wudu for it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the weapon of a mu'min is his wudu. Silahul mu'min al-wudu. So weapon against shaitan is ablution. So if you don't have ablution, means shaitan is easily going to track you down. So it is more preferable that everything has to be done with wudu.
Now to do the awrad on any time, yeah, you can do it any time, and you are driving or you are doing it any time. Now if you have been disturbed, you did 100 salawat and then you have disturbed, then you can continue. After you finish what you are doing, you can continue the other 100 or whatever, the other 200, it's okay. Now some people prefer that they do their awrad before, after Fajr, and from Fajr to Ishraq, because the awrad doesn't take more than 2 hours or 1 hour and a half. So it's more preferable that you can do them at that time, if you can. If you cannot, you can do them through all the day, it's acceptable. Even at night, as long as it is in 24 hours. Grand Sheikh used to do his awrad to begin them by Maghrib, so from Maghrib to Maghrib. So Maulana Sheikh Nazim giving murids to make it easier on them from Fajr to Fajr. So as long as it is in 24 hours, it's okay. And if sometime you miss awrad, if it is from the awrad that you have to do them, it is not like the volunteer one, like for example from the Zikrullah, Allah, Allah. Either it is, well, I don't know what you are doing, which level, but whatever level you are doing, if you miss that day for that, you have to do it next day with the other ones. But if you miss from, for example, 100 times La ilaha illallah, or you missed from Subhanallah, or from, you missed from Astaghfirullah, or from Alhamdulillah, that you don't need to repeat to do it, to make it up. Only you have to make up only the Zikrullah, Allah, Allah, and the Salawat on Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes?
You must qada your... Alright? You know what I'm talking about. Anybody else?
Alhamdulillah, no questions.
No questions?
The dream. Ah, yes.
I asked Ma, if I come back to the dreams. A week before Sheikh Nazim came, I read through the Muslim views, you know, and I went to sleep, and I dreamt that Sheikh Nazim was in a masjid, and my little son, he came to my little son and his friend, and he took their hands, and as he came to me, I woke up, and I thought, will Sheikh Nazim accept me as a murid?
Alhamdulillah. Sheikh Nazim came to your son. Son in the dream is a sign, it gives a sign of purity. An elderly person, it might not give a sign of purity in the dream, but you see a child in the dream, means the innocence, the sign of purity. So he came and took his hand, means, and the son is part of you. So means he gave you through your son, which means it's not necessary in physical term that it is through your son, but he's showing you that side of purity that you have, he is initiating you and giving you that real bay'ah in the dream. So, and that's why when you said to yourself, is Sheikh Nazim will accept me, that from the physical body is speaking to the spiritual body. The spiritual body of yours, the spiritual side of you, the soul, is being symbolized as the son, the child. The physical is you, so you were saying to your soul, does Sheikh Nazim accept me now with my physicality? Means you have to do more through your physical awrad daily, inshallah, in order to build that purity more and more. Inshallah. Yes? You have a more? Yeah, same. No dreams. Okay.
No. I can't live everyone. I think I'm a dreamer. I also want to know about taking bay'ah by a living person and taking bay'ah by a non-living sheikh. Is there something like that in Islam? Can you take bay'ah by a non-living, a wali of Allah?
To take a bay'ah with a non-living, why Sahaba gave bay'ah to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and al-Siddiq. So that signs that you have to take bay'ah from a living sheikh. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr and al-Siddiq is symbolize physical and spiritual dimension that he took from Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So since Sahaba were in need to give bay'ah to Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, although they gave bay'ah to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they have to give bay'ah to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq to show their support to Prophet through Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. It is necessary to take a bay'ah with a living sheikh that he can take you to the presence of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you had a bay'ah with your sheikh, with a sheikh, and that sheikh died, you have to renew your bay'ah with a living sheikh in order that he connect you to your sheikh who died, who passed away. Because there is no one now, very rare, but not everyone, so we cannot take it as a principle, a general principle. People that they can communicate with their sheikhs who are in grave. So it is necessary to take a bay'ah from a living sheikh that he can connect you with your, or with the sheikh that who passed away. Yes.
You see, in the past, especially here in the Western Cape, there was never such an idea of a living sheikh. People, if you look in the historical sense, Cape Town people would bay'ah at the awliya in the Cape Town. And they used to do awrad, whatever was came to. Some said it was not permissible because we do not know if that particular person who has given you a will is a sahih or truth.
Ad-darurat tubihul mahzurat. Necessity wave away forbiddens. When you are in need for something that does not exist, you can override it. So since at that time there was no living sheikh in the area, so that sheikhs, their power was allowed to go through the more normal people in order that they can connect themselves with them. As soon that was established, then it was a necessity now. That was a necessity to be done because there was no way other than that. When that has passed and there are now real sheikh, that is better to go with a real sheikh. This happened, and that's what we call it in our terminology, in tasawwuf, uwaisiyya. Uwaisiyya means there are two ways of taking bay'ah. One through living sheikh directly, and the other one is uwaisi, is through the heart, from heart to heart to a sheikh that you are not meeting or he passed away before. But these are rare cases. It doesn't happen to everyone. You cannot be like taking bay'ah through uwaisi way, because it is only for pious people that they can connect themselves with those who passed away. Many people cannot connect themselves, and that's why for Cape Town, it was a necessity before, but now it's not anymore. So that's why it is more advisable to take bay'ah from those who are present nowadays among you, or those who come from abroad, to connect yourself with them. Satisfied? Okay. Yes?
Can Sheikh explain to us the difference between bay'ah tabarruk and bay'ah irada, as well as can some people under notion, or maybe I am, that can a person take bay'ah by two living sheikhs or more, or barakat, or talib, and so forth? These are terminologies that is being used.
There are two kinds of sheikhs, Sheikh al-Tabarruk and Sheikh al-Wilaya. Sheikh al-Tabarruk is a sheikh that might not have secrets, and he might not have a real connection to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and real connection to awliya. You can sit. But with his associations and circles and lecturing, he's spreading the teaching. And that's why we call tabarruka. You will get the knowledge, you will get the blessings, although he doesn't carry the secrets, but with his associations, he can give you a knowledge that might give you blessings and might spread the word of the tariqah. And that's why you will find thousands of sheikhs in Naqshbandi orders, thousands of sheikhs in Qadiri orders, thousands of sheikhs in Shisti orders, isn't it? So who carry the secret? Must be one. There are not in no way that two can carry the secret. Must be one in that order. So who is that one? How you know? If you have 500 sheikhs in Shisti tariqat, or you have 500 sheikhs in Naqshbandi tariqat, so one is carrying the secret, and what we call it Sheikh al-Wilaya, and the other 499 are Sheikh al-Tabarruk. They are only spreading the message, which is also good, because you cannot have in every country one person that carry everything. So Sheikh al-Wilaya is... Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Is Azan? So Sheikh al-Wilaya is the one that can raise you through his associations from your level in 5 minutes through your sitting with him, can raise you from your level to his level. That's Shaykh al-Wilaya. He doesn't accept that you be less than him in rank in front of Prophet, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Tabarruk doesn't have this power. Shaykh al-Tabarruk, only he gives you knowledge, lessons, teachings, but cannot raise you to his level, although he cannot raise himself and he cannot raise you. Shaykh al-Wilaya can raise you to his level. And the difference between two sheikhs, Shaykh al-Wilaya and Shaykh al-Tabarruk, is very, if you put them together, it's very easy to detect who is real and who is only for da'wah, and the other one who carried the secret, as Allah said in Holy Quran, رِجَالٌ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. These kind of people, like Maulana Sheikh Nazim, you can detect them immediately. You can see the difference. Maulana Sheikh Nazim, when he was ordered to carry Irshad, he said, no, I'm not accepting to carry Irshad until every one of my followers, as I am lecturing and doing suhbah, Irshad, I will raise him to my level. Even though he's not doing anything, only doing his obligations, I will raise him because of his love to me, his bay'ah to me, he will be with me in my love in dunya, every day in his life, and in akhirah. So that is Shaykh al-Wilaya. And when you give bay'ah to Shaykh al-Wilaya, you said that what you said, asked me at the beginning? Bay'at tabarruk is to take barakah, because he doesn't carry the secret. Shaykhul, who carry the secret, means you hit the real target, and that is the irada, where it directs you to Shaykh that carry the secret. And then you asked about someone can take bay'ah from two sheikhs. As long as you have to know, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that ablution over ablution is nur, is light. Al-wudu al-wudu nurun. So if you have ablution and then you say, it's calling azan, I will take another ablution, that is light over light. So to take bay'ah over bay'ah, it's okay. But you cannot take bay'ah from a higher sheikh to a lower sheikh. You can take bay'ah from a lower sheikh where you took bay'ah with him, and you then you see a higher sheikh where it gives you, you will see from his way of walking, talking, speaking, eating, giving lecture, it gives you the difference and show you that is higher. That one you can take another bay'ah. But you cannot go from a higher one to a lower one.
One more.
Yeah.
Sheikh, some people under the impression that once your sheikh of Tariq or your murshid has passed away, that is if you can't renew, you can't look for another sheikh. When commenting?
Those who think like that, they will be left, they will be disconnected. Because the sheikh, when he died, if you cannot reach him through verbal dialogue, you need to have another sheikh. If the sheikh has built you up in his life where you will be able to communicate with him in his grave, then you keep with that sheikh. If you cannot communicate with him in his grave through verbal communication, not sitting like that meditating and say, came to me from my sheikh to do this. No. That is zero. That might be your aerial, you have a satellite, might get a fuzzy picture. Shaitan might play there and give you wrong inspiration, wrong information. You don't need that. So it must be a verbal communication with the sheikh in his grave. Means you speak, you hear. If you cannot reach that, means you need to renew bay'ah with a living sheikh. Okay? Yes?
We could spend a whole month, a year speaking about Maulana Sheikh Malik. But would it be possible for the Sheikh to give us a tip of the iceberg as to who Maulana Sheikh Malik is and how Maurice should relate to and respect and interact with
Maulana Sheikh Malik. He needs a book. To speak about someone means you have to be in a position that you are overlooking him. Look at the star from here and up, what you see? Yeah? You see a star very far, and that star might be existing or not. Because the light to reach you takes billions of years. Might be that vanished already, but the light still coming. So what you are seeing might not give you the right answer since you are looking from down up. So to give a precise description, you have to be up and over looking. So I don't think anyone can be up and overlooking at Maulana Sheikh Nazim's daraja rank. It's impossible to describe what Allah has given him. But what I heard from Maulana Sheikh, Grand Sheikh, that he said, whatever Allah has given me, I passed it to Sheikh Nazim. And he said that where Sheikh Nazim is putting his feet now, no one wali, no one of awliya Allah has reached that level. So that way I think will be enough to describe where is Maulana Sheikh Nazim. you might meet many ulama and you'll be fascinated in their lectures. But although they are, you will be fascinated with their lectures, but they cannot raise you and lift you up to where they are in the Divine Presence. Maulana Sheikh Nazim can pull your hand up and put you by him, near him, beside him, in the Divine Presence, in Allah's presence. In Salatul Najat, when we pray two rak'ats, and in the first rak'at we recite Wa ilahukum ilahu wahid, Ayatul Kursi, and then Shahid Allahu, and then in second rak'ah 11 Kulhu Allahu Ahad. And who doesn't know the Ayatul Kursi and Shahid Allahu and the other last one, that last verse, can recite 15 Ikhlasul Sharif in the first rak'ah and 11 on the second rak'ah. When you go to sajda, you make dua there, is that?
Yeah.
What you think, Maulana Sheikh Nazim, and how long it take, that sajda?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Sometime go 15 minutes. Sometime Maulana, I was with him in seclusion, he used to go half an hour in sajda. What you think you can do in 5 minutes? What you can do?
Wait a little.
Well, what you do? Make dua, is that?
Make dua.
Anything else?
No.
Huh?
No.
Nothing else? No. It means tasbih or dua. Whatever you are doing there. You make your dua asking Allah for this, for that, after tasbih. For Maulana Sheikh Nazim, in that sajda, in 5 minutes, he has the capacity and capability of counting everyone living on this earth. And he brings them one by one by name in front of him, making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. He will not raise his head from that sajda until he take all his murids and all Muslims, mu'mins, that Allah has given to him as his share in his time, to take them to the presence of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clean from their sins, and Prophet in his turn take them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Divine Presence. That in his sajda, in Salatul Najat. He can cover the whole world in 5 minutes. So that I'm giving you an example. So such person, waliullah, that you gave bay'ah to, it's not something can be understood by mind. It's beyond mind. What I saw from Maulana Sheikh Nazim of experiences, I don't think anyone can from this country was able to see. Since I was child, we were with him, alhamdulillah. One time in Lebanon, that was in the 70s. Early 70s, beginning of the 70s. There were two brothers. One who loves Maulana and follow him, and one is a communist. He hates Sheikh Nazim, he curses Sheikh Nazim, he doesn't love Maulana. So the two brothers, one time they had a discussion between each other. And they separated, very upset, because the discussion was about Sheikh Nazim. And they live apart, around 100 miles apart. So that communist, his daughter asked him to buy for her You know the small chicks? The yellow ones? She asked him to buy some for her. He bought, I don't remember now, 11, 12, something like that. More than 10. And he brought them to the house. She was playing with them. After 1 week, you know, these small ones, they died. One day they came, wake up, they found them dead. So what they did? They threw them in the garbage. So the girl was crying, and she came to her father that they died, and the maid threw them in the garbage that night. So the man said, it came to his heart, Allah, when Allah wants, لا تهدي من أحببت, إن الله يهدي من يشاء. Don't guide whom you like, Allah guide whom He likes. So at that night, that is a real story. You tell it to ulama, they might not understand it. You tell it to innocent people, they might immediately believe it, as I believed it when it happened in front of me. He said that I had a fight with my brother about Sheikh Nazim. Okay, if Sheikh Nazim is a waliullah, let these chicks come to life again. I don't believe in this rubbish. And he left. He came after 1 hour, 2 hours, they were hearing in the garbage can the sound of the chicks. Those who died, all of them, next day, they are alive, all of them. Immediately he was running to Mawlana Sheikh Nazim, coming to visit him. He was in my home, and saying, forgive me, I was a communist, but now I want to renew my Islam. So that story happened in the early 70s in Lebanon with Mawlana Sheikh Nazim. It's one of the stories, many, hundreds of stories. So that's what, alhamdulillah, what kind of a sheikh that came to this country, to Cape Town. That country is blessed because of his coming. Yes. Walaikum salam.
We in South Africa are all new murid, and we like, you know, the protocol and the etiquette required around Sheikh Nazim, because we're all new and we're all nervous and we don't know if we were sitting our right foot forward or what to do. We're all so nervous, so we would just like some instructions on the proper etiquette and protocol for respect of Sheikh Nazim.
Mawlana Sheikh Nazim never told anyone to have a protocol. He is very humble and he cares for everyone. But from our side, it's better to have respect. So the best respects to show him is alhamdulillah, what you are showing with your love, it's enough. And the most important is that you know, when you go to Kaaba and you cannot reach Hajar al-Aswad, what you do? From far away, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Adab, not to push the people. Also, it is indication for us, when you see the Shaykh pass and you cannot reach him, it's not necessary that you have to push and fight in order that you can reach the Shaykh. Believe me that those who greet the Shaykh with their hearts are more nearer than those who greet the Shaykh with shaking his hand or kissing his hand. Because those people, might be their heart sad, they cannot reach him, but through their heart they can reach him. And those are more nearer than those who are physically, they try to push the others in order to reach. So that's the main issue. And the other protocol is, when you come and the Sheikh is sitting, don't give salam to anyone. There are many people, they begin to make salam and turn their back to the Sheikh and go along, and then, no. If the Sheikh is not speaking, is sitting, you can come, kiss his hand and sit. If you cannot reach him, from far away, make a sign in your heart and sit. Don't step over each other people, pushing in order to reach. Those who are thinking themselves that they are pushing and coming to the sheikhs with a way that sheikh might not like it, but he might not say it, are far away from the sheikh, and those who are sitting at the back are more nearer to the sheikh. So when you come, if the sheikh is speaking, don't give salam. In your heart, salamu alaikum, you sit. If sheikh is not speaking, you give salam to sheikh if you can reach, and you sit, don't give salam to anyone. The only one at that moment is your focus is the sheikh, not the people. Unfortunately, what we see usually is they come and begin to go around and disturb the whole sitting. So that's some things that always be careful about it. Yes? But I didn't understand.
He's a moderate scholar. They say he's a moderate. You said moderate.
He practices moderation.
Oh, in that sense, scholar that practices moderation.
I didn't understand what is the question.
Maulana Sheikh also mentioned in the day that Maulana Sheikh Nadi is well known by the world as a scholar who practices moderation. He's respected as a scholar who practices moderation. What exactly does this mean?
What is the mean is the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. نحن أمة وسطة. We are a middle ummah, means a moderate ummah. We don't go to extremes. Means don't let people to run away from you. Extend your hands to everyone in order to try to convert them, educate them about Islam. Don't make them to run away from Islam because of your actions, of your non-moderate actions, violent actions, makes people to run away. No. With your good way of speech, with your smile, with your love, with your good adab, manners, moralities with the non-Muslims, you can bring them into Islam. And that's why the only sheikh, I went from east to west, from north to south, the only sheikh that brought to Islam this huge number of converts around the world is Maulana Sheikh. Millions of European, Americans, Australians, Far East, South America, North America, Africa, from every part of the world, Russia. There people came and converted to Islam because of the smile and the moderation of Maulana Sheikh. He doesn't tell you do this or do that like other, or this is bid'ah, this shirk, this kufr, this haram. He lets you to slowly, slowly learn by yourself, and then he build you up. That's what I meant by moderation. Yes?
For the last 2 days, I've held Maulana's hand about 5 or 6 times and kissed it. Today, for the first time, when I greeted him after Jumu'ah, he squeezed my hand a bit.
Of course. Means he gave you a special secret passed from him to you. When he pressed something, means he's passing to you a secret to your heart. So that is special for you. What he gave you, you don't know it. But by time, you will know what he gave you. Yes? Wa alaikum as-salam.
Sheikh, I want to ask about the Naqshbandi order. From what I understand in my own capacity, that the Naqshbandi order is based mostly on dhikr. I'd like to know if can this be coupled with meditation as well?
Naqshbandi order is not only built on dhikr and meditation. Naqshbandi order is built on education and knowledge, ma'rifah. It's not only sit zikr and that's it. No. In the time, previous time, no one can get tariqat so easily as today. And in Naqshbandi order, before only 30 years ago or 40 years ago, you cannot take bay'ah on Naqshbandi order without the conditions that I will say. The conditions that a murid to take bay'ah on Naqshbandi orders is the follow. Is that you will be under observation for 40 days from 40 ulama. That are the principles of the Naqshbandiyya, to become, to smell the smell of the tariqah and to be initiated in the tariqah. Is that 40 ulama has to look at you for 40 days without you know that they are looking at you. If you miss one sunnah of the Prophet's sunnah 24 hours, you will not smell the smell of Naqshbandi tariqah. For example, if you are sleeping, and when you wake up from your sleep, what first thing you do? Take your miswak before opening your eyes. That is one of the sunnahs. From your pillow or whatever, and you, Allahumma tahir qalbi min ash-shirki wa nifaq. This one sunnah. Let us say you miss that sunnah, and the 40 ulamas are looking at you. You will not get you will not be initiated in Naqshbandi order. What do you think about the other sunnahs? It's so hard to be initiated on Naqshbandi tariqat. Then you have to be alim in Sharia and a follower studying haqiqa, realities. Then they will initiate you. You have to know all the basic of Sharia. Then they will initiate you on the Naqshbandi order. Now, because of what we are in today, and what we call it al-jahiliyyah al-thaniyah, the second jahiliyyah, it is permissible now. It has been granted a permission from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Mawlana Sheikh Nazim, without looking that that person has to be under these 40 days of severe observation, scrutiny, let them take the bay'ah, you carry them. So it is more heavy now on the sheikh, because he has to carry your mistakes. And that's why he's giving it in general now. So tariqat really is knowledge. Is ilm. At-tariqatuna as-suhra wal-khayru fi al-jam'iyya. Mawlana today just explained it. That Shah al-Naqshband said it 12,000 times in his life. Our way, tariqatuna as-suhra, is the association and the guidance, the irshad, is not the zikr. Zikr is one part of tariqah, one division. And meditation is one division. So, yeah, now we come to your question. You can do meditation, and the best meditation that you can do is before Fajr time. If you cannot do it before Fajr, you can do it after Fajr for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, as much as you like. If you cannot do it at that time, you are busy, you can do it after Maghrib or after Isha. Yes?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
The
importance of the turban is not a Naqshbandi issue. It's an Islamic issue. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a amama, and it is quoted in many hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even in the Bukhari and Muslim, in Bukhari there is one complete chapter, and it was, the head of that chapter was Babul Amaim, the chapter of turbans. And it is whatever Prophet did become a sunnah. And it might, if you are more strong on your Islam, it become like a fard on you, because the Prophet ﷺ did it. So the amama is not necessary to be in that shape, or the shape that the Naqshbandi makes, in any shape. That is an amama there. That is an amama here. That's an amama here. That red one is an amama. Any kind of amama is a sunnah of Prophet ﷺ that Muslims today are leaving it. And Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shahid." Who revive a sunnah in the last days when there is too much corruption, Allah will give him the ajr of 100 martyrs, shahid. So why to lose that? And it is sunnah of Prophet. So Naqshbandis, they put turban, but there are many Naqshbandis that are murid of Maulana Sheikh, they don't put turbans. It doesn't mean that they are not followers of the Sheikh. No, they are. But some of them, they are more, what you say, orthodox, conservative, more strict, more firm. They put it and they don't, they say, okay, we want to put it. We don't want to take it out. Some of them, they say, okay, we are working and we cannot work with the amama, so we'll put it when we pray, and we don't, we take it when we work. It's okay. So it's no problem. And there are a lot of hadith about the amama. Then the beard, I don't know, is it a sunnah to have a beard or not? Huh? You asked about why they have beard? Fakhruddin. You asked about why we have beard? Of course, the importance of the beard. The importance of the beard, whatever, as we said, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. If we imitate the Prophet ﷺ in his doing, we will be associated, inshallah, in dunya and akhirah with Prophet ﷺ. Prophet has a beard or didn't have a beard? He has a beard. Those who don't have a beard, I don't want to say it because many people, they don't have a beard here, but but they are going to feel shy in the presence of Prophet ﷺ. They are going to regret it one day. So it's better that for Muslims, Allah gave them zina. What's zina in English?
A
beauty in their beard. Or else he would have made us like women why have to shave? Why have to take all the hassle every day, shaving? Well, go like be a woman and finish. Allah made the man to have beard, to leave it, like Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, he wants the woman to have beard, he will let it for them to have it. So don't imitate woman. We are imitating woman by shaving our beard. Sorry to those who shave their beard. And he asked a difficult question. Because he had a beard, he wants to get out, to get you.
If I saw something before I don't. I feel very embarrassed when, especially when Sheikh Nazim is praising the Maurice kiss my hand. What is the adab with regard to that? I feel very embarrassed when I do that.
I told you, Maulana Sheikh Nazim doesn't have protocol. He doesn't care for protocol. But adab, also I be embarrassed also when they come and they kiss my hand in front of Maulana Sheikh Nazim. But after experience, I let them to kiss my hand better than to withdraw my hand and make more, commotion in front of everyone, and then as if it is, it become more out of a problem than it is a simple kiss the hand and move quickly
better than to say no, he say no, I say no, he push my hand, I don't know. No, that's what my experience. So it's better only the sheikh to be kissed his hand and move the only salam to him. Now, out of respect, because you are representing here the Naqshbandi order, out of respect, they kiss your hand, it's okay. No problem. And Mawlana respects you a lot, and he raised you from level 10 to 99, so no problem. Yes?
What I want to ask is there a book from Sheikh Naren that you perhaps on prophetical medicine?
Yeah, there is a book. I don't know if they are selling it here. You are carrying it? There is a book. You can order it from our website. You have it here?
We have it in the library.
Okay, they have it here. Take it from them. Yes, Sheikh Shafiq?
I do ask first, man.
Shafiq.
I've heard that our Sheikh of Tariqa, Maulana Sheikh Nadim, looks at us every day, three times. How should we interact in our daily life? Because our Sheikh is looking at us. We must be so conscious of what we do. And I tend to forget that I've come guilty at later in the day. Then I realize my Sheikh may have been looking at me and I may have said something wrong with me or looked in the wrong direction. I've also read that your eyes are your windows to your heart. So I try to protect my eyes where I look, because I could be looking at my Sheikh, could be looking for my eyes. Can it explain for us what you must do?
As you said, you protect your eyes. And Sheikh is looking at you three times, is correct. That is the lowest. That's the lowest limit. He can look at you every moment. But the lowest level that he looks, he has to look three times. And when he looks at you these three times, he will not send to you candy to be happy with. He might send you a problem, affliction. So whenever there is a problem and your anger comes, you make sure that the Sheikh is now looking at you. Bring your anger down. So when you get upset, is the real time when the Sheikh is looking at you. Be careful.
So, would that not at home, we as husbands, your daughter...
anything, of course.
The food is not ready.
Yeah. If the food is not ready, you cook. Why you have to fight? Why everything on the wife?
I'm very, very...
Don't eat. Very simple, eat rice. Yes, Sheikh Shafiq.
I'd like to respect the Sheikh. Adil has asked 75% of the question I was going to ask. The question that I was going to direct to you was, I'd like to hear an explanation of the significance of when a Sheikh looks at his murid, what is the significance of that? Because it means, first of all, he's going to talk and then he will look at a certain murid.
One time I was young and I was studying, and me and my brother, we decided to go visit Granche. And because we were so in love of Granche and Maulana Sheikh Nazim, we used to leave the school and run away. And we have to also take the car. Sometimes we might steal it, sometimes we are not. And go to Damascus, cross borders from Lebanon to Syria, 4 hours drive to visit and come back. So one time we went, and we came back, and my mother was very upset that we missed the school. She was angry. She was shouting, we were shouting, she was shouting, we were shouting, she was shouting, we were shouting, we were upset, she was upset. So we left and we drove back to Damascus because we were very angry. She was angry, we were angry. Let's go back to Damascus. Don't come back.
So he went back. And Maulana Sheikh's, Grand Sheikh's place is on the mountain. You have to walk up stairs. And Maulana Sheikh's house is of two divisions. One where he stays, and then there is a big yard, and all on the hill. And then there is stairs, and the other building was the Zawiya, and then the door, the main door. And never Maulana comes down, always stay in his place. So as soon as we reached the door, and we will not want to knock at the door, Maulana Sheikh opened the door. He said, go from where you came. Don't step here one step. What you did today, Prophet not happy, Awliya not happy, you go back. Don't come until your mother is happy with you. So, he sent us back. We drove 4 hours coming. We fought with my mother. We drove 4 hours going. He kicked us out. We drove 4 hours back. And we came home, and as we came home, subhanAllah, everything has changed. My mother didn't say anything. She was happy. She served us food. So we are very happy, as if nothing happened. We didn't bring the subject. She didn't bring the subject. So next day, we went to Maulana Sheikh. Another 4 hours. And that time, we knocked at the door. His servant opened. We went up. He said, that's where it came 3 times. The Sheikh looked at the murid. He said, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed me for mercy on you to tell you that the Sheikh looked at his murid at least 3 times a day. And every time he looks at him, he creates a commotion for him. He doesn't look at him to give him sweet. He look at him to put him in a problem and a trouble and check how much that murid is going to be patient and not to bring his anger. Because anger in Naqshbandi tariqat is like kufr. When you got angry, you don't know anyone. Means that is a hidden shirk that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. Because at that time, you don't know even Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You know only to be angry, shouting at everyone in front of you. So he said, the Shaykh, create that in order to see how much you can carry and how much you be patient. If you be patient, he will raise you up. So he gives you the test by yourself to test your level. So at least 3 times, he is checking you with that kind of anger. So if you be able to keep your anger down for 40 days, not to bring it up one time in these 40 days, never you will be angry in your life. He said, like a dog in a room, there is a window but closed, and you put smoke inside the room, so the dog, what he will do, bark, 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 cannot run away. What will happen at the end? He will die. So anger in the heart, if you don't let it out, because if you let the dog out, he can breathe and live. So if you don't let your anger to come out, it symbolizes like a dog barking, 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 barking. When by barking, it will make it to die. So this is the only remedy, he said, for the anger. That's the only way that you can get rid of anger, is by keeping it for 40 days, observing it, to kill it in the heart. When you kill it and don't let it down, come up, then you will never see yourself angry in all your life. وَمِنَ اللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ بِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ. We pray Aisha, inshallah.